Hello, welcome to this call, to our wisdom class call today. Hello, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. Thank you for being here. And let's start together with a moment of silence. And silence is not so much that the body and everything around us is quiet, but really you, that you are just quiet for a moment, not moving as consciousness, allowing your heart to be just as it is. And in the silence, the heart opens, and this moment is accepted and received just as it is. I'd like you to open your eyes for a moment and just look straight ahead. Just looking, pure looking. And then close your eyes again. And then just open your eyes again. Pure looking, pure seeing. And closing eyes again. Let's do that one more time. Just open eyes. Look. No form, no name in front of you. No meaning. And then just closing eyes. And in the closed eyes state, we see inner forms. And we also just see, we are aware. And we don't give any meaning to any thought, any feeling. Everything is here at the same time. There is no sorting. Okay, there are some questions that I'd like to answer right away. There's a question regarding what is Dharma and what is Karma. And these are, of course, not Western words. And I don't even know if there's anything in the Western tradition that really has a word for these things, but maybe they are, and I can't remember right now and place it. But maybe in the modern way today, we say soul purpose or meaningful life or something like that for Dharma. It means that there is a correct way for you to live not in a sense of wrong or right, but more in a sense that it is abiding and moving along with your own evolution, and it gives you a deep sense of fulfillment, and it fulfills the purpose of your life. And karma is when we're stuck in the past or in the future, or in this whole place of naming and sorting, where we are in a linear time that indicates that we are basing our life on reaction. There is a law of cause and effect. If I plant a sunflower seed, I will get a sunflower. There's a direct relationship to all our actions, and karma means action. So it is our identification with actions. So we can live in karma and identify with actions, or we are living in that deeper attention, the second attention, and beyond, where we are in the core being that, the self that is moving as life itself, that is always ever fresh and new, and expresses itself always in a totally new, fresh way, just like every snowflake will be new and different in its pattern. Every moment should be fresh and new and never dead. So the whole concept of depression and problem cannot arise in the place of Dharma, because there is a meeting or an expressing of life constantly going on. So Dharma and karma. So we want to really move from karma to Dharma. And in the Western, in the Christian word, karma is often used as sin, in the sense of debt. Sin is, I think, a wrong translation from the original scriptures, maybe from Greek or Aramaic. I don't know where it started. But essentially, it meant debt. And so that is more related to karma, because if you plant a sunflower seed, there is a debt to be paid, which means that the sunflower must arise. It has to fulfill the meaning of the seed. So there is a relationship to that. And so we want to be forgiven those debts and forgive others for it, which liberates us from the actions that are so irrelevant and clutter and obliterate this present moment that is shiny and bright and full of joy. So we want to move out of karma to Dharma. Now, is karma really real? It is real on one level, in duality. Is it real on the level of the ultimate? No. So the story of the death of, and now it's Easter, actually, interestingly, the rising of Christ again, showing that we are now liberated from it. It's not that it really happened, because obviously people still have karma and or, you know, debt. But it is showing us that we can, through a death of the ego, through the death of time, and through nailing ourselves to the cross of the time and space, we can arise again in freedom, which who we are, of what we are, the body of light, or the Christ body, which is the body that can, is the highest manifestation that can hold a physical form. So that was one question. The other one was about what's advanced meditation, something about open eyes. Yeah, what I mean with that is that when you're in advanced meditation, is really you're in your core 24/7. Of course, you know, you sort of fall out of it, apparently. You notice you're suddenly, again, stuck in karma and being in reaction to life. And so your meditation practice is to constantly find yourself back into it. So in some way, we've practiced this all along. And in terms of this warm module, is that when we sit in advanced meditation, and the questions here regarding using a tanka properly, I mentioned that these are, my purpose of bringing this up is to show you and inspire you to understand the possibilities of the evolution of consciousness. I'm not trained in proper tanka practice. I said that I did something like that in past lives, but I don't remember exactly the instructions, nor am I qualified to teach it now. The thing is that when you are gazing at, we've done this internally when we put our attention on one point in the middle of the head and another point in the abdomen or another point in the heart, we're literally holding several points at the same time in our awareness. This is a certain, this is a difficulty, a test of difficulty, and having the ability to hold several points at the same time, it pulls our mind out of a particular focus into a gazing ability. And being able to gaze and be totally relaxed and expanded while holding attention on different points, let's say on an image at the same time, it triggers the mind to keep evolving. Or it's in the sense that you have to be able to not lose attention, lose concentration, or forget, or suddenly go fall into a dream state or into a place of that's less conscious. And being able to, when we are an advanced meditator, the brain works very holistically. There it is, you're very focused, almost like in the center of a ball, and at the same time you're open and your awareness goes into all directions, very multidimensional. And so when we come out of a linear way of thinking and we move into advanced meditation, what really happens is the brain changes. And we go through these transitions where we are a little forgetful, or we are in long states of samadhi, or we are even through in what we call a cleanse, a state of a lot of mobility, like lots of movement, lots of thinking, all kinds of stuff happening as the mind is sort of rebooting itself to a higher speed, you could say, and higher ability. It's like your internet gets upgraded, kind of like that. And that doesn't happen just by itself. It means that we are opening ourselves to it and challenging our mind. We did that naturally when we, as children grew up and went to school, and we had to suddenly, I remember, you had to learn things. It was really, really hard sometimes to really learn certain things. And when we are meditating, we're naturally, our IQ actually starts growing. I've never tested it, but I can only say that that was true for me. My brain is not the same the way it was, 10 years ago or even 20 years ago. So these tankas are more like a suggestion, if you want to gaze at them, because they're sacred images. So when you gaze at something, you're becoming it as well. There's also a tantric process going on where your energy begins to sort of, these images are not, if you go into other parts of yoga, okay, every image or every idol or statue is not considered just a form that represents something. Oh, that's a very logical way of thinking. It is actually really the deity itself. Okay, so when you think about that for a moment, in bhakti yoga, these things are real deities, and they're being also worshipped in that way, or taken care of is the more better way. The tanka is being closed at night. There's sort of a fabric that gets rolled down, or you give it incense, fruit, and all this. You feed it, or idols are being washed and taken care of and dressed and maybe carried around like a child. We're going to talk about these a little bit more in the next module. But the thing is that when we begin to cross over that the world around us is not secular, that everything is sacred and everything is divine, and how to open that up inside of you as consciousness, as you are beginning to approach an image in the way that you are staring at it, gazing at it, and then not just at one point concentrate, but you open yourself up and you see maybe the face and the hands, and then you see maybe the angels on the sides. Suddenly, when you're just looking at angels, something happens in your crown chakra, right? When you look at the face and the expression of the deity depicted and you're contemplating it, meditating, something happens there. And the question was, what does it mean to be meditated? Something is really not difficult to describe. It's when you have surrendered completely to that experience and you are so at one with the object or the meditation itself, if you're not meditating with an object with open eyes, and it's just happening to you. It's almost life meditates you. There's no you having to meditate. So there are these, really in samadhi, you could say you're being meditated. that's sort of my word that I kind of use. I don't know if that's actually a traditional word to be that ever was being used before. The other question is about good or bad beings that pop up, and it's kind of a little bit scary maybe. And do I see this with closed eyes, open eyes? Okay. For some of you, that is probably has already happened. At the same time, there are degrees to how these beings arise or you can meet them. Like I said, they can be so real that you're in the room and you can literally touch them. They're like in my experience, I think I shared Saint Germain is in my room, just in his pure light form. The Christ being as a ball of light just above me, like I was lying on the bed and it was right above me, with open eyes could see it. So these things are, you, when you close your eyes, because they are multidimensional, you can also see them with your eyes closed. But when you open your eyes, you can also see with eyes open. Depends on your third eye, really, the capacity of your third eye. The more it opens, the more you will see colors. And the more form you're able to read or pick up on. And is it scary? No, it's not really. It can be startling in the beginning when you are more kind of fantasizing about it, when it's more like a fabrication of the mind. It's almost a game we play. But when it's really real, you don't have time to be scared about it. You are actually feeling the incredible presence and energy of these beings, and there's a reason why they appear. There's something happening. Usually it's a transmission or something, you know, that assists you in your growth, or confirmation of some sort or something like that. Or literally initiation, something that moves you to a higher level of consciousness. And the fear that might be here right now is more something that you might want to process. Like, why would it be creepy? Why would it be scary? That is where the left brain is still thinking that the way the world is, the way you got imprinted, how the world is what is real for you. But is it really? And if you are overwhelmed with these kinds of concepts, then you just say, I don't want to see anything. I don't appear to me. It's up to you, really. You say, don't even appear to me. I don't want to see you. I want to just do this in my way here and just sit and meditate and find my peace and bliss. And I don't want to have any drama. I don't like drama. So you can do that as well. So I think I answered all of that right now, and let's quickly check if there's anything else here. No. So yeah, I'm going to just unmute Shelley and just see how you're doing, and if you have any more questions or comments to this module. Hi, Shelley.
Hi.
You're cutting out a little bit. Can you maybe come closer to a microphone or phone? Thank you.
I'll turn the speakerphone off. Is that better?
Yes, better. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No, doing pretty good. Would just like to connect with you and see if anything comes up, but I'm in a pretty good spot right now.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah, it's very good. You're more relaxed about everything. That's very nice, right?
Yeah. It's perfect. Almost like I can't even think. Don't even want to think. It's like,
yes,
I don't.
Good.
Can't even go there. Yeah.
Good. That's good. It's a very good phase now. Yeah, that's perfect. You just allow that. That's awesome. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Shelley.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. That's good. That's what we want. This is in New York. Hello. Hi there.
Hi, Rithma. It's Christine. How are you?
Hi, Christine. Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
I'm so looking forward to the retreat. I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm so glad everything worked out for the house for you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes. Thank you.
I don't know if this really relates to the new module, but you know, you and I have discussed, or you've discussed many times before, about manifestation, and I was wondering if there is a way for you to see if there, if I have any blocks, you know, because I do the work and I feel like I'm able to put out there what I want, and a lot of times I get what I want, and then there are times where I just hit a wall, and I went on an interview and I thought that I did really well with it, and it's not that I didn't get the job, but I just haven't heard anything yet, and I just feel like I'm always very impatient.
Mm. Yeah, good question. Does this belong to the module? It doesn't really belong to the course, actually, Christine, because you're speaking of I. There's a lot of I, right? I goes away when you wake up. So maybe you have a question of like, well, how do I actually live in this world without an I? Have you, is that maybe also a question?
Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But the good thing, thank you.
Yeah.
The good
That's
thing,
good.
Yeah, right. And the good thing is that you're noticing that your eye is obviously not helping much, right?
No, it's not. It doesn't do what I want, right?
Okay, so I want you to, first of all, before we talk more about this eye that doesn't seem to be doing what you want, and who's you, by the way? Can you tell me about the eye and the you, and tell me the differences?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Boy, I don't. I have no idea.
Okay.
I know there's another person in me, you know, or another part of me that looks out, that talks to me.
Right. Yeah, if, thank you for this, you know, a joyful answer. It is really important to see that when we're coming from a place of utter confusion and ignorance, that it's like, how can we live through, how can we move forward, how does life work? So you're completely at the mercy of your karmas and you're not conscious of it, and then there is a reaction to it because the mind ping-pongs around, you know, and it says, oh, I'm trying this, and then it doesn't work, and there's commentary on it as well, but you're not in, there's nothing really real happening. So now what does all this mean is that the, you know, the, it is good to really look more carefully. What is the I? I want you to really look, who is to say the I that is just wants to have, let's say, a new job. Can you go and find that I? I want you to really look where it is.
I feel like it's in my heart.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And, and if you are in that place, which I call more of a me, right? It's a different I. There's different I. So you're going to the sense of me. And when we speak about that, that who you are, can you describe that in any way?
I don't know. I should be able to, and how come I can't?
No, who says that you should be? It's the right, correct answer is that you can't describe it. You cannot describe it. You can only be it. Good. Now, this is very important. Thank you for looking. Now, this you, who you are, is that one having a problem with work and abundance?
Wait, ask the question again. Say it one more time.
You see how the mind doesn't, can't follow this question. Did you notice that?
Yes, I can't. I hear you, but it's not registering.
Right, because I'm not speaking to the mind. I'm speaking to you, and your mind says, what? You see, your mind is running the show, and you're going to your mind and saying, it's like going back to the computers on your desk and saying, can you please tell me who I am? And the computer's just sitting there, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Oh my God.
And there's something on the computer screen that says, I need a job. Why am I not wealthier than right now? And it's just a thought that's written as typed over your computer, on your desktop. So you see, this is just a program. We call them programs. But you, I want you to go back to you, who you are, and tell me if that has any lack or thinks it has any lack.
Yes, I do feel lack. I do.
There's a feeling? Is there a feeling or is there a thought?
I can't differentiate between the two. I don't know if it's a thought or a feeling, but I do know there's lack.
Okay, good. So, perfect. So lack is a thought and sometimes a feeling as well. They're kind of interlinked. So you're actually reading your mind now. Their mind is reflecting lack. But is that you? Is that you?
Well, it's the life I live. So I guess it is me. I assume it's me.
Is it really you? Is the lack you?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, because I do feel lack, so
There's a feeling. There's a feeling of lack. Okay. This feeling can come and go. Did you have it when you were 8 years old?
I might have.
When you were 2 months old?
No, I don't believe I did.
My point
I don't know.
You don't know. I know. You can't know that. But my point is that a feeling comes and goes and it changes. It can't be you. It can't be you. It can't be you. You said previously you can't even describe who you are. So now this what you couldn't describe is lack?
Okay.
So there are two different things. So there's you and then there's lack, correct?
Yes.
Good. Okay, so right now in this moment, why don't we just cut the cord between lack and you?
Okay.
So that you do not have lack or do not have lack.
Okay.
Okay. And so if you're just resting in yourself, just be just yourself. And I'm going to assist you here, and you can say no, but basically what I'd like to make it just easier for you is that this, what you are, doesn't have a beginning nor an end. It doesn't have a description. It doesn't have abundance or not abundance. It is life itself from which everything emerges. Now, if you are cutting the cord with the thought of I have lack, that kind of computer program, mental program that's going on, if you really do not listen to that and you bring more space to that, then you have what you're left with is you, and you is everything, and you will take care of you. You makes you breathe and you makes your heartbeat, and you will take care of you as well. But the moment you ignore you and you walk away and you look at the computer program, all you have is files from yesterday on that computer program. And that file will say, I have lack. And that's the one you don't even like.
Yes. That's beautiful.
Can you get it? Good. I want you to get it also.
I get it.
And you also feel it. You do. Good. You are so precious and so infinite. Oh. This is true. This is really true. You're so infinite.
Oh, you're
going to
make me cry. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Well, it's a fact, you know. And to ignore the abundance that you are, abundance in the sense of much more than your mind can think of, okay?
Yes. Thank you.
The ability to create. The ability to create is truly abundance. It is every moment there's a new breath. Every moment there's something new given to you. There's a new, the way the birds sing is every day a little bit different. Every spring is a little different. Every moment is a little different. To open yourself to that, that's abundance. And do never go back to the sense of I have lack. I. Can you climb back into it? Try it right now.
No. It doesn't feel good. No.
Okay.
No.
Good. Don't want to go back.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you.
Okay. I'll leave you with that. Thank you, Christine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next person is Ruth Ann. Hello, Ruth Ann. Hi. Oh, she is muted. So we'll come back. I can't hear you. So we'll come back to her. And then this is 0471, 021. Hello, 0421.
Hey, Rafima.
Oh, that's Ray. Hi there. Hello.
Thank you for answering all those questions. That was really good. I understood all that.
Okay, perfect. Great, great. Do you have some other comments or questions that came up more recently?
Sure. I thought I'd check in with you about my meditation and how it's going and see what you had to say about it.
Okay.
So I'll process fear. I can do that with a square and things like that. So that'll help because sometimes mm-hmm. when I meditate, like, I do freak out a little bit. And I'm like, what's around me or what's not? And
there's a thought that comes, right? Or there's a feeling and a thought, or first the thought and then the feeling. What is it? Can you tell me?
I suppose it's a feeling. Sometimes, like, you might feel something's there. Then that would freak me out because I know if you think it, it's just mind and you can, that's nothing. But, yeah, just that feeling sometimes, that would throw me off a little bit.
Does it help you to know that everything that comes when you sit and meditate, you're meeting your own unconscious and just energetic patterns and things, and that as you keep just sitting still, you're like a light, like a sun that just keeps transmuting these energies? Does that help?
Yeah, I guess that will help. That's a good way to look at it, that what's there is just me. Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I can do that. That's cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I feel, I think once before we said, we're talking about the word Brahman and how it had this feeling or energy or there's just something to it with me in mm-hmm. that word. And you said somewhere with meditation we can get a bit creative with it. So is that where I would maybe just say the word Brahman in my mind and try and sink into that?
Yeah,
feeling?
You can do that. Yes, you can. Exactly. That's perfect. Yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. I can feel that. It feels very smooth, right?
It does. There's this mm-hmm. just, I don't know, this vibe to it. As soon as I say it, it just, I don't know what it does, but it does something.
Yeah.
So I can find that and drop into that.
Exactly, yes. When we have that, we've probably done something like that in a past life. So you're re-bringing back spiritual experiences from the past and built on that.
Okay. And I noticed it feels like on my face, it would be like a bright purple or like not really white, but a dull white. But sometimes that can get a bit, it will throw me off my meditation because it can sort of, not bright, but it just, yeah, it's there and you're like, aware of it.
So you can see it with your eyes closed that there's a light in front of your face?
Yeah, it's hard to describe.
Do you see it through a color? Okay. Do you see it through, because when you see it, you have your eyes closed, you're seeing it through your third eye, correct? That's what you're seeing.
Is that what that is? Okay, yep.
Yes. So just allow yourself to remain most centered. And if it throws you off, then remain centered. Do not respond to it. If it feels good and it pulls you in a certain way, it is something that wants to merge with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember you said that advanced meditation, while all this stuff is going on, you're still holding that center.
Yes, exactly. Because in advanced meditation, we're beginning to open up the spiritual realms and there's a lot going on. And first of all, we don't want to get messed up and just, you know, because we're living this so-called, you know, third dimensional life down here, the physical. But at the same time, we open ourselves to this larger consciousness and then we also let it integrate, and by not going off traveling or leaving the body, like if we don't keep the chin up and leave the body, we have the chin, you know, nicely settled, and allow ourselves to remain always clear that everything we encounter is yourself, and there's only oneness. As long as there's two and something you perceive, you must go beyond that, and it's either done through the intellect, or through the devotion, or through the energy. These are the three major paths that happen. So it can be an energetic merging. It can be a merging through the heart, which is like an ecstasy, is a drunkenness of love, or it can be a clarity of emptiness and stillness and the wideness of eternity, you know, different feelings.
Okay, you did mention those in the MPC, yes.
Okay. Those three, did I mention it? Is it a question? Is that a question?
No, I did. Just a statement.
Okay,
I remember.
Good. Okay, thank you.
I had notes on it, but okay, cool. Thank you, Rathman.
You're welcome. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember sometimes where I put what. I'm going to try Ruth Ann again. Hello? Okay. Then I'll just go to Rosemary. Hello, Rosemary.
Oh. Hi, Rathma.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm so glad to actually be here with you.
Oh, thank you.
And, yeah, we had a big family event, so I escaped.
Okay.
I'm really like module 7, and you know, as I go through it, I always think, oh, I have to ask Rathma about this, and then it just seems like it goes away. But I just wanted to check in with you, see what I can.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. You know, when questions come in and somehow their answers, it's almost like the energy. The energy is information that somehow it gets answered. Something and then falls away. So that's good. So you're really just meeting a question that is just it's just arises, but you don't. There's no obsessing over it. That's good. So you're letting that. You don't create all this extra drama. That's beautiful, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm in a school with no questions. I feel like that.
yeah, it is. Right? I mean, who raises all the questions? We have to address them, of course, because then we settle. We in that, and it's not even just about answering the question, although it's important. It is really the meeting. A meeting happens, something else happens underneath, and we keep meeting in that place. And so then sooner or later, all the questions have been answered. Because right now we're talking on the surface, but something else happens somewhere else, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I appreciate these calls. That's well said. Thank you. I have to say that love without end, it's quite a read.
In what way?
It's like I'm listening to you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, well, you know, Jesus says, you are not the mind. You know, it's like exact words, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny when I saw that book on Module 7 because I had that book, I don't know, years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was purging my books, and I thought, I think I'll just let this sail out, you know, somewhere. So I, oh crap, I don't have that book. I have to go get that book. But anyway.
You know, it's there's so much about, we're just starting, and I mentioned it also to Kat, that we're just starting to open up something that's so hard to talk about, you know, about the heart. I mean, we had some heart modules before, but that's all very baby level.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so hard to talk about that even. So I'm starting to introduce also the Ramakrishna book. If you really kind of go into his story, what is so significant about this man is that he went through all the paths, through all the different religions, and he met and he showed us that doesn't matter what path you go, you always get to the same reality. But the path, the experience is different. And so the path of the Christian, I wouldn't even call Jesus not even Christian, but he is that instrument that shows, you know, love itself is extremely hard. I mean, it is so hard. It kind of hides a bit in the psychology of respecting each other and all this, but the truth is that it annihilates who you are completely. There is no you, and it's very tough. And so this is why I'm leaving it more to the end.
You know, he. That's very interesting. Thank you for saying that. As you were talking, I remember something in the book. He had her find where her heart is, And it's not the physical heart.
No.
And I don't know why I'm just being getting tears when I'm talking about this. I don't know why.
It happens always. It's divine tears. And the path of bhakti is so tearful. It's really hard to even teach. That's why even Papaji, he was a pure bhakti, but he's known as Yani, because he said that I can't teach. He would just start crying all the time. He would be in absolute ecstasy with Krishna and merging. And it's so intense that this is why most teachers, you know, really talk. Well, how can you talk to people who are very much in their egos about the heart? First of all, there is a cynicism there, and you don't sit there as a teacher, cry all day long. And do you understand?
That wouldn't work.
Why would I even think about that? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So the heart is the heart. The truth is, like, with Christine, you know, just a little step of realizing that you are not your thoughts, not this thought particular, but you're none of your thoughts, you're not your form. And at the same time, you are as well, but not the way you think of it. It gets a little complicated. At the same time, it's not. So when we become innocent and open our heart to what is, and don't hold a position and don't hold any psychological sense of me, just kind of that constructed form of your story, that no, protecting none of that, and really burning in the fire of love itself. We are really a portal, a doorway. We're hollow. Think of yourself that is something that a bird could fly through you. Think of it that way. Nothing there, no obstruction. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've never looked at it that way. Well,
we can make a small step towards that direction, right?
Yeah, small. It's I was going to ask you about my meditating, but I'm thinking that's too mundane at this moment. It's like, I'm not sure if I want to go there.
Yeah. You know, it's okay. It's also, we can love that part as well, and let it be and have its place. And it is the technical part of getting the mind to get out of the way, right?
Yeah. That's I tell you what, I love that about this course. I love that the mind is getting, at least I think some of my mind is getting out of the way.
I think so. I think you spend a lot of, when I look at your day right now, you're sometimes in the forefront of your, in the frontal bone a little bit, but there's a lot of you that's on the second attention resting behind. So letting go of everything, even just going deeper, surrendering more, and we'll bring that up a little bit more in the next module, is really how to do that and what would work for you, right?
So
what's your leaning? Okay. How is your technical aspect regarding the meditation? What's the technical part?
Technically, something shifted. It's been feeling like when I close my eyes, you used to not see anything. You're just dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then it felt like my eyes came forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, where is that spot I used to just stay? That's something that keeps come up. The other thing is that sometimes I get absolutely locked in to a space. It feels like I'm locked down in some energy or something. I'm not sure what that is. It feels like it's okay, but
it's just still, right? You can't move.
Can't move.
Yeah, good.
And it, okay.
That's it. This is what samadhis feel like. The samadhis can get stronger and stronger until you can't move at all. You know, so that's what feels. You are being meditated. Again, this is for Ray. You are being meditated. It's that lockdown feeling. I like that because you really can't move.
This feels like I'm just locked. I mean, it's like my head's locked, my neck's locked, my body's locked.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh my God, do I have to straighten out? It was just kind of strange, but.
Now, this is good you bring this up, because now your mind, like the I inside you that's alive, that's having a comment on this, that says,
yeah.
What is this? Is this good or bad? That needs to be instructed, and so now you enjoy the sense of lockness, because it's really you are shifting. The reason why it feels so locked is because you're living more in your soul body in that moment. You're not, it's like when you die, your body can't move, right? It's just a piece of inertia, right? It's just inertia, it's just flesh.
Yeah.
So in meditation, you were practicing dying. We're practicing moving back and becoming free, so we can be soul at all times, being in the condition of the living flesh or in the condition of the dead flesh. Do you understand?
You learn
to be always you, but you have to. So you make a little shift. It's almost like you dial into the soul, and suddenly the soul doesn't care about moving the body all the time. The soul is doing all kinds of other stuff. This body is just a tiny, tiny aspect for the soul.
Oh.
This is big, right? Oh, I can feel this opening up now. Wow, this body with this name is just so little. Wow.
It's so good.
I thought I'm just this body. It is so living in this beautiful temple. No, this body is like my teacher said, it's like the size of your little toe.
Oh, good. Yeah, the soul is a little bit bigger, huh?
Yeah, so you... doing a lot of other things. You are, talking to Christine again, you are at the same time right now taking care of how your money comes in next year. The soul is very busy doing all kinds of things, not just in this world, but also in other dimensions, depending on where you have abided. It's very complex. It might be right now at the feet of a master somewhere in the Himalayas, and you don't even know about it. There is a complexity to life that I can't even, put into words. And my aim is to always repeat, to just say you are eternity, you're more than you think you are. Trust that. It's amazing. Life itself is amazing. And there's no end to what it is. It keeps me also recreated. So yeah, this lockdown feeling, enjoy it. And when you are in it and the mind starts asking questions, now your job is to, again, cut that connection to these thoughts. Don't bother. Yeah. Become that silence, because the lockdown is a sense of stillness. Become the stillness. Become, what is that? Fall more into that until you become so still. And then you go through another doorway. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I did see a doorway. And I'm not sure if it was during the lockdown, but I did see a doorway, because I don't see anything when I'm meditating anymore. I don't see anything.
Was it a point? What was the doorway like?
The doorway was like a big, I'm seeing it now. It was like a barn door, and like two-sided door, and opened in the center. And next thing I know, I see, what's the elephant goddess?
Okay, you see Ganesha. Okay.
And I don't ever even think about that.
Okay. So, now we're going to talk more about advanced meditation here. This is a good moment. When you're in advanced meditation and you are even in a sort of a lower samadhi, you're kind of still, the body is moving, but your mind can move. You can actually think and talk. Okay, and something, because you're in duality, right? You're seeing something. There's a relationship. There's a communication happening between you and a deity or something. Yeah. Now you're going to be. Now you can check and say. You can even talk to Ganesha and say, "Do you want me to move through this? What do you want me to do here?" Or you can touch. You extend your energy into and touch Ganesha, or you touch the door and you just get a sense, do I need to move through this? This is the work of advanced meditation. It's very creative. This is what I said in the beginning of the conversation today with the Tankas, is that you're doing so many things at the same time. You're very still. You're not moving. A lot of your energy is actually just sitting there, but you're suddenly busy in other realms, and you have to hold your center, because if you don't hold your center, then you're going to lose the whole connection, then your body is, you know? So it's a very minute, fine, powerful concentration, a lot of energy to hold everything in order to move and work yourself through these processes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is very tantric, though, okay? What I'm talking about here, this might not appear for everybody. Some people are very pure yanis, and they're very still, and that's so there's always black, there's always empty. But for some people, it becomes very busy, and just in the tantra, it's there's more to tantra, but this is part of tantra.
Thank you, Ratima. It was very fine. It was not, you know, it never happened before. It was just like a very fine, I thought, oh. And I think I stay pretty still.
Yeah, good. I can feel the fine energy. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Good. Okay. Thank you. This is a good conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, very helpful. And we have, I think this is this Antonia in Glen Rock? Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. Hi, Antonia. Hi. Hello. Hi there. Good. I'm good. Was this helpful, or was this starting to get a little confusing?
Oh my goodness, that was so beautiful. Just the last call here, the last person you talked to, because I was starting to feeling that way. It's like my meditation has been the same since last month when I talked to you, and again, it's just space. Sometimes it's light, but it's like the same thing,
mm-hmm.
And it's been like that. I know my third eye is really busy,
mm-hmm.
in and out, in and comes in and out, in and out. A lot of red color, orange, and white.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, let the third eye continue to develop. It can be very useful as you keep developing, but otherwise the most important thing is that you are, again, the most important thing is not to really come from the ego and work, although it sounds like we're doing a lot of work now, but to kind of remember again, it is really about you surrendering and being nothing, right? Being less than nothing.
And I had that for the longest time. It's just an empty space, but I'm really drawn to do mantra.
Okay.
I love doing mantras. I like to do
the Durga mantra? Oh, which one?
I like that one. That one in the Ganesha.
Yeah.
Mantra.
Okay.
Three or four that I do.
Good.
And I can feel them. I love doing them.
Beautiful. But I
do this small, what is it? Oh my goodness, I love my drink. Where we put the water, the incense.
Oh, the puja. Yeah.
Yes. I love doing that.
That's,
I have Ganesha.
Yeah.
And I do the rice, and I just bought my red shawl that I'm going to use in my little altar. Mm. And I'm just busy doing that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love it.
That's very nice. Yeah, when you love it, there's love, right? And that's the whole point. Puja.
Oh my goodness!
It's a devotional aspect, and it's very healing. And do you know what Ganapati means? Actually, you probably don't know that.
I don't.
Yeah, it is really the same like Christ. Gana is group.
Oh.
Okay, group.
Okay.
What happens
in
Christ consciousness? Christ consciousness is a unification of everything. Where everything comes together, we're not splintered in the mind and all these different eyes. Everything comes together.
Okay.
And Ganapati is a group. It groups things together. It makes your organs work together. It makes all the eyes, all the different I ams work together and merge them into I. This is why he is the portal to the higher realms. You can't even enter the higher spiritual realms without being coherent and centered. This is the why the practice of Ganapatis always comes first, because once you are all, you know, friends within you all, you know, the different people are sometimes at war with themselves, right? They're all these different facets. Ganapati brings it all together. That's the practice of it. And this is not, this is, so there's a devotional aspect to the archetype of it and to the being, which you can see in other realities, but it also is, has a science behind it that is very healing and has a function in your own, how consciousness works.
And I don't even feel bad about practicing this, even though I grew up being Catholic.
Yeah.
Never really was attracted to that religion.
Yeah.
And I know why now, because I found what I really love to do.
Yeah.
And that's how, when I put it all together and I have my incense and my lights and my
light
and everything, it's just, oh, I want to just sit in there for a long time and contemplate. And I love it. I love it. And I love doing the mantra.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's wonderful.
All the steps, you know, all the steps.
The
way you explain it, and then in the other.
Last month. Okay.
Yes, and then
with
the water and the fruit and
good.
I have my red shawl on my shoulders right now, mm-hmm. and it feels so warm and so cozy and so.
Thank you. That's great.
Yes.
Thank you, Antonia.
No,
okay. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, the red is Ganapati's color. And there was another thought, but it just escaped me now. So, yeah, what I was going to say is that, Antonia, is that the deities and the beings were there before a religion arose, pretty much like what Jesus is saying. So these beings exist and existed, and they're very, very ancient before humans. They are just a few, you know, years old, came along and said, okay, we're going to create a religion. So they don't belong to any religion. And if you go high up, you will see that they appear once you meditate past, you know, the different countries of religions, and you're just in eternity, you're going to realize that everything is present at the same time. There's no war there. There's no conflict. So this is Katya. Hi, Katya.
Hi, Ratima.
Hello.
I have two questions, one about puja and one about meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm struggling a little bit with my sitting meditation. I do find that my walking meditation can be much easier. With sitting meditation, I come to the point of my unconscious that I'm not able to overcome. It's just complete boredom. And I know it's a thought, and I know that, you know, I can move forward if I just sit still. And some days I'm able to do that, but most of the time I'm not. I just end up stopping in a couple of minutes just because I'm not able to overcome this boredom.
It's more like,
and I try to change it and like focus on different points and even cover myself. I don't know, it's just not able to shift.
Well, because you don't want it. You don't want to make the shift, gotcha. You just want it to be more fun and different, and you don't like the way it is, and you just don't want to do this, right?
Well, I try to see it longer, just try it.
Well, you know.
Sometimes I'm able to, not always, but I'm not able to.
The thing is that we can give into, it's, you know, this, who is able to and who's not able to? That's really the question here. Because the body is able to sit. It's not like you have a disability and you can't sit. So it's not the problem. It's really your will is really at odds with the divine will. So you're fighting. And that's where you have to make a choice and use your free will and have to really say, okay, I'm just going to surrender and use my tenacity to sit this out and to break that. I don't want to do this kind of thing. You know, it's like an inner tantrum. Or you are just saying, okay, I'm not going to sit for meditation anymore. That's it. I'm done. So you're standing at a crossroad. You can't ask this to be easier. It's just the way it is. It is, you're meeting your own resistance.
So if I just keep doing it and keep sitting through it, then eventually it will go away?
No, maybe it'll always be there. It's not for you to go to make it go away. It's for you to open your heart to it and accept life as it is.
Okay. So if there is constant resistance, I just have to accept it?
Yeah.
And just keep sitting through it? and accepting it?
Yes, and it's even more important to not even sit through it, to actually bring your attention to what truly is matters within you, is yourself, and not look at that which is uncomfortable. You're meditating on the discomfort, but you actually are invited through sitting and closing your eyes to going inward, and the stroke of the mind goes inward to actually find who you are and to revel in the light that you are and meet that. It's a chance to meet yourself.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. What part of it was difficult to understand?
When you say going inward, so sometimes I'm able to sit in the silence that I am.
Okay.
But sometimes it's just really hard.
Because there's no silence, it's busy, yeah?
It's that feeling or thought of the boredom that I'm not able to overcome.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe there is just an
love
excitement
it.
That mind wants to have something else to do. And
yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got it. Your mind wants to keep, your mind is basically fighting you right now. You're fighting with yourself. What I just spoke earlier, you're at war with yourself. This is how we have wars in the world. It's the wars out there. It's just what happens inside people. We're at war with ourselves. We're fighting, and who is going to give up? And so, first, it's important for you to understand why you sit in meditation and to see that it's your invitation to overcome this willfulness of the mind, so that you can live from the heart. And it is this battle right now, and you can decide to win. I know you have the strength to decide it. You just have to, put the money on the right horse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it has a lot to do with love. It has a lot to do with love that we spoke of, is that because the mind will always come with something else. It will always want something else. I mean, drug addicts are like that. They just want a lot of excitement. They don't want to give into life. It's too boring. And then they get into drugs or whatever it is. But if you get through the boredom and just see it as a fog, that it is actually veiling something, it veils your heart, who you are, and just say, what's behind that fog? What is really going on? What is boredom? What is it? If that matters to you, then sit through it and don't give up. Pray for help if you need that as well. Pray. But essentially, you have to make the decision.
And when I try to sit through the boredom, is it better for me to try to stay in the heart area?
You can, if that's something that, you can do that. You can do that. What might be helpful for you to know is that this is a training for you, because you're very strong. We spoke about that. And you're meeting your own strength, and you're learning to put the strength in the right place. A power can destroy you, or it can be of benefit. And so you are right now in a training ground. It's like a boot camp. And it's a choice for you to make it through it or not.
Okay.
Because if you make it through this now, all I can say is that you will be given way greater gifts. The harder it is to go through something, the harder it is. If you persevere, you will find, because, it's like a bank, like let's say in Switzerland, like a big bank, they have a lot of locks and safes, and you can't even get in there. It's like a bunker. You think it's easy to get through something that's a big treasure? It has to be difficult. It has to be. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. You can do this.
Yes.
Okay. Of course she can do this. Okay. And I want to try Ruth N again. Ruth Jean. Hello, Ruth Jean. I can't hear you. Can you hear us? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, I can hear you now. Good. Hi there.
Were you calling me because you said Ruth Ann, and I know there is a Ruth Ann, so I did not.
Sorry.
I know,
my fault. I see it. Okay, on R. Sorry, on a Ruth Ann and Ruth Jean. Sorry about the confusion. Ruth Jean, here you are. Do you have a question?
Yes. Lately, I post in our community, and that is my experience where I am one with everything. and the air I breathe is me, and then my body. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what is happening. And the previous caller today, earlier, way earlier, sometime in January, December, I feel like when I was meditating, I was already experiencing like I was as stiff as a statue. And I thought, oh my God, what is happening with me? Mm-hmm. And then now when I meditate, I don't even have a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But when I don't even have consciousness, and then when I'm doing my ordinary chore, interacting with my daughter, it seems like I don't hear her, and like I have this passive aggressive reaction to her, and then right away I hear your voice. Rest your mind. I read your book. I did not read any of the books that you that you suggested, because I want to free myself from any influence. You know, I hosted, when I had my school, I hosted the relics of the original Buddha, Shakyamuni, and everyone at the Ascended Master. Mm. And that is when I first experienced and they stay in my home, and that is where I experience the purity of the air around me. And so when I'm around you or anybody that has a pure intention, a healer, I would know they are pure, because I will be reminded of that kind of healing, of that kind of healing. Mm-hmm. But lately, I'm a little bit you know, I listen to our module, and then I fall asleep, and when I wake up, I had a headache, especially this was a couple of hours before Syria was bombed, and through my experience in the past, and it is like a massive like that earthquake, I get so disturbed. I will not sleep for a whole week, but now I only have headache, but it's a breaking headache.
Mm.
Like, I feel the tears of those refugees, but at the same time, I feel cramped, and it's like funny. I just want to be free.
Okay. So there's a lot going on here. Okay. If you're saying you want to be free, then you believe that you're not free, right?
Yeah, I know.
So, and that thought is something that we want to question, right? That's not true. And if you are having the need to not have a headache, that can be there. Of course it can be there, but there's also that which you say is gone in meditation. So that part of you that is you, that is also can shut down the sensory impressions and just be free from everything. So now you're saying that, how do I bring this state that I go into? How does that kind of translate into when I'm walking around and functioning, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's just practice, just time. You are going to have to integrate this, the deeper you go into the self, then that has to also then, how does it apply in the horizontal? How does it going to look in everyday life? So then you kind of start kind of like from scratch. You make sure that you are authentic, true to yourself, but at the same time, you're not going to, you know, hurt other people, you know, with your, like I said, you're passive aggressive or something. And, but you're also not judging when that happens, because you're going to be in a state where you find these things are just emerging from you. And it's obviously your daughter's karma to have that experience in that moment. So you go really beyond judgment. So it's very important to now live without any judgment and not to control your behaviors, but keep being yourself, that loving kindness. You meditate in it 24/7. You're being it. You're resting in that nature, and you trust that how it expresses itself, be it in thunder or in beautiful sunshine, is not your business.
Okay. About 2 days now, I did not say my mantra, but I twirl my prayer wheel. I have 4 prayer wheel.
Okay.
Just to free myself. Again, the word free. But, you know, I just ask for clarity every time I twirl my prayer wheel. And I have...
Let me just stop
my prayer wheel.
Yeah, let me just stop here. I can see that everything I said did not go into you at all. There is a block in your head. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want you to notice for yourself the resistance, which is the I that comes up. And you can be like in long time in a beautiful place, and then suddenly, bang, the I is back. And it hasn't been burned yet. It hasn't been roasted. It has not, you know, been made in a way that it doesn't sprout. So it's sprouting again right now. You feel the irritation there, the need, the wanting. Who is that? It's only the identity.
No.
It's only the identity that goes like that, right? You see that. Good. You know, and again, so let it be and come back to, you know, to knowing that you just need to see this. You start then again with what you're doing, you know, but sometimes that ego becomes so sophisticated, becomes a spiritual ego, okay? And then you go back to your practices, and all these practices suddenly become dead, and they mean nothing because the ego does it. Because the mind is so cunning, okay? It's so cunning that it gets it all down, all the practices, and then you are suddenly trapped in your spiritual ego. And now how do you get out of that? And this is what I just said previously. I'm going to repeat this again for you as a gift. You are going to rest in who you are, and you're going to refrain from judging any expression that comes from you. You're going to begin to see that everything is seamlessly divine, even your passive aggressiveness, your anger, your irritation, whatever it is. You have to go beyond all the judgment now, because ego cannot follow into that. Ego cannot follow into unconditional love. That's how you leave it behind.
The more I ask for clarity, the more it's like
You're getting clarity right now. I'm giving you clarity, Ruth Jean.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Good. This is now where there is a deep spiritual pain arising for Ruth Jean, and these are good moments. So we're like on the 7th module, right? And we have a deadline. Like, you know, we have these 12 months. So there's going to be a drama that we go through, right? We had the honeymoon phase, and we had the defined phase, you know, over Christmas, oh, I don't feel like doing this. Then we come back, and then, you know, all these things. And now we're working through some deep, deep, you know, obstacles that seem like too difficult. Now it's just don't let yourself be tricked by the mind. You are always the same. You have been like this in the beginning. You will be at the end. But this is the drama of the mind we move through together, and knowing that you are who you are already, and don't let yourself be tricked. And when it gets very difficult, like it is for Katya right now as well, is to take that challenge. Just say, yes, I'll just keep showing up. I'll keep loving. I'll keep living. Doesn't matter. I have no opinion. I would always say, I have no opinion on this. This is it. I'm just here. Fine. You know, but with a warm heart. So we're just showing up. So right now, at the end of the call, let's just be here in silence and just let everything just be what it is. It's okay. We have to really be comfortable at this point with discomfort, be it mental, be it emotional, okay, be it physical, just be okay with it, find the freedom and the space, and have a natural response to it, not from a place of ego, but just from a place of self. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you. Thank you very much for being here today, and maybe we'll talk again tomorrow morning. Okay, thank you. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.